Welcome to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and there's a great new faith-friendly and family-friendly movie out there called God's Not Dead. I happened to see it during its opening weekend, and I thought it was great. And my wife said that every church youth group in America should show this movie before the kids go off to college. The star of the movie is Kevin Sorbo, and he joins us now. Kevin, welcome.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So tell us, what is God's Not Dead all about?
Well, I can't give away everything, but I don't know if you remember the movie Crash, which won the Best Picture about 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was. I look at this as a faith-based crash movie, where you have five other stories going on, and they sort of culminate together at the very end. My story is the anchor story of the movie, along with a freshman college student. I play an atheist college professor, and I have an introductory philosophy class. And the first thing I basically force my students to do is to write on a piece of paper that God is dead, sign a piece of paper, bring it in. It's all certainly for his own ego, but he wants to skip that part of the curriculum in his philosophy class because he doesn't believe in God. He thinks it's a total waste of time, and he says you're never going to be able to prove that God exists. So let's not waste our time doing this. And one student stands up and says, I'm a Christian, I can't do this. And he's pretty firm about it. So I tell him, look, if you're not going to agree with the rest of the class, then you have to prove in front of the classroom that God is not dead. And so I challenged him to a series of debates over a month in the classroom. And it's an interesting story because you get both sides. You get the atheist point of view. You get the Christian point of view. And it gives the audience something to discuss and talk about when the movie's over. I think it's well written and well done.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's interesting too. I wrote a column about this, by the way, and it's just it's come out. And one of the things I said is that, you know, to some maybe the plot sounds far fetched, and yet within a very short distance of this very radio studio in South Florida, about a year ago, one of the professors at a, you know, state college said, okay, write out on a piece of paper, Jesus. Now, put that piece of paper on the ground and stomp on it. And one student refused and, was threatened with a bad grade until the word got out about that assignment. And then, thankfully, the university apologized. But still, that would go on in the name of academia, it's crazy.
You know, and that's only one example. This goes on all the time. There were fellow students of mine at university who said they suffered through the same thing. I didn't see it, fortunately, but they had to. My niece and nephew had to. And at the end of the movie, at the end of the movie, they show 37 court cases to back up. That's just 37. There's many more out there, but they show 37. They name the university of where it took place, and you can go and check any court files to look at it.
Sure.
It exists. It happens. We know what happens. I mean, there's so much, between politics and between religion that professors that are supposed to just be teaching the subjects they've been paid to teach go off card and want to impose their points of view on our students. And I'll tell you right now, your wife's right about this, that every student should see this before they go into college, because even in high school level and junior high level, this is going on. And teachers, that's not what they're being paid for. They're being paid to teach the kids about the subject that they're supposed to teach. And parents need to have a very open conversation with their children and say, look, anything you see going on like this, do not be afraid to stand up. At least come talk to us about it, and we can, you know, figure which way to go. But it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I noticed a pattern in the end credits of those different court cases that you refer to. And the pattern was that the Alliance Defending Freedom seemed to be mentioned in virtually every one of those cases. And I just want to point out that the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, my longtime pastor, was ultimately the founder of this radio ministry. And he was one of the key founders of the Alliance Defending Freedom, along with James Dobson and Marlon Maddox and Larry Burkett and a few others. So I thought that was fantastic. They're doing the Lord's work.
There's no question. I mean, this movie has taken on a life of its own. It's a very small budget movie. It's like $1.8 million. They only put about $2 million into the promotion of it. They've been keeping me very busy. I've probably done over 70 interviews in the last 3 weeks alone. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredible because you look at the final numbers of the opening weekend. We finished fourth in the box office, up against movies that we were in 780 screens. These other movies were anywhere between 3,000 to 4,000 screens. And not only did we finish fourth in the ratings, we also finished second in per-screen average, enough to bring other cities and other theaters saying, hey, we want to be part of this. So we've added 400 theaters this week, really? And right now we're in 1,200 across the country, which is huge for a low-budget movie. And the fans and the faithful and not so faithful have been going in numbers to to check out this movie. And for me, I don't want to preach to the choir. I want the choir to go to this movie, and I want them to spread the word and tell people they should see it. But I want them to tell them to their friends that are agnostics and atheists, and say, just go check it out. It gives you a place to have a debate and have a conversation. That's really what this movie is meant to be. It's not to sit there and say, hey, we want to make sure that you become a Christian too. I don't want to do movies like that. I want people to think for themselves, but I also want this movie to at least provoke some thought and conversation within themselves, if not with their own families or friends.
Sure. Have you gotten any feedback from non-believers that have seen the movie?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've got atheist friends, and they email me and go, "Is your character based on me?" But it's really more based on the people I see that head up these atheist groups,
right,
that I've seen on cable television.
Yeah.
And I sit there and almost laugh at them, because if you don't believe in God, why are you so angry about it?
Yeah.
There are people believing it. So there has to be a belief there. There has to be something there that they just don't want to be judged, is what it comes down to. They want to live their lives the way they want to live them, whether it's good or bad. They don't want to think that there could possibly be something out there that's bigger than them. And all you have to do is look at a flower, look at a star in the sky, and realize that, you know what, this was by design, and we had nothing to do with it. Something greater than us had something to do with it.
Well, it's true. And in fact, the statement from Jesus comes to mind. Light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. Now, as far as design is concerned, if you came across an arrowhead, what would you conclude about that arrowhead? Oh, there was a designer. And that's very simple.
Just like somebody who made a car. But somebody had to create those people to make those things, a creation, actually happen.
All right, so let me ask you a question. As far as the, you say this is low budget, who was the mastermind behind this film? I mean, who was the one who originated it?
Well, PureFlix is the company. PureFlix is based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And you got David White, and Russell Wolf, Michael Scott, and all these guys that are the founders. They put out more faith-based content than anybody else in the world. And I've done about 5 movies with these guys through the years. And, this one, when they sent me the script, they said, Kevin, people might hate you for this, but we'd like you to play this professor who's an atheist. Well, I read the script, and I was blown away by it, and I said, I'd love to play this part. Number one, I'm an actor. It's fun to play the roles of different people. That's why we act. I'm not in a reality show playing Kevin Sorbo. And, and I know people find it hard to believe, but I'm not really Hercules. But I did play him for 7 years on TV. So it was an interesting part for me to want to dive into. And, I did another movie with these guys about 4.5 years ago called What If? And
yeah,
People should see that movie. That What If, to me, is every bit as good a movie as God's Not Dead. There's maybe a little bit more comedy to it, but it's a wonderful, faith-based, family-friendly movie. So for those who haven't seen What If, I highly recommend going to Netflix or Amazon and getting yourself a DVD and checking it out. They just do good work. I just did another one of them called Revelation Road, it's a series that they're doing for straight to DVD, and I had a blast doing that. We shot that in Amarillo, Texas earlier this year, and these guys they've got a very good groove going right now, and they know what they're doing.
Right. Okay, so the ultimate driving force then was, you mentioned David White. Is that the same man who plays not a campus minister, but a local minister in the movie?
Yes, David A.R. White, yeah. He appears in most of their movies. He is an actor and, a Christian, and he's one to help found the whole company. He writes a lot of the scripts as well. He's a very talented writer, and, they just do amazing stuff.
Yeah. So the ultimate person who initiated this particular film then would be David A.R. White, or you're saying it was a process of committee?
Well, it's process of committee. I mean, those guys, certainly he's worth talking to about that. I mean, but it's the company itself that, you know, they all get together and they go through the number of scripts that get sent their way or scripts that they're developing or writing and talk about what their next project's going to be.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious if any one of these particular stories, you know, where there's a challenge against a faithful Christian or something was the catalyst. You know, it was like, hey, why don't we make a movie about it? You know, I was just curious about
I'm sure the story's on there. And in fact, David quotes the story you mentioned about that Florida professor all
yes.
the time in the interviews.
Oh.
So that is certainly, I mean, I know that story as well.
Yeah.
So that is I'm sure that was one of the reasons why they said we've got to show
right.
you know, we got to show what's going on out there on our campuses.
Yeah, and there's similarities in the sense that in your particular movie, 80 students, you're telling them, your character is telling these 80 students, just write God is dead, sign your name to it, and only one out of the 80 said, no, I can't do this. And then in the case of, you know, the FAU professor, it was one student that stood up. Now, I don't know how many students were in that particular class. By the way, my daughter went to that school. That's where she got her BA from, and she met her husband-to-be, and they're both very committed Christians. And thankfully, that kind of assignment is not commonplace for FAU, and they did apologize for it. But still, the fact that it would even happen is just... it's just crazy.
I just think it's the ego of these people. I mean, that certainly was with my character. He didn't have to have students write down God is dead and sign their names. He did it out of his own ego. He did
right.
it to show that he's the one in control. He's the one who's powerful. And that's why these professors do this. They have such an anger and hatred.
Yeah.
And as I said before, if you don't believe in something, why are you upset about it? I mean, it drives me nuts when these people march. And there's such a small percentage, but why do they have a bigger voice? They make people take down nativity scenes. And you're going, wait a minute, what do you mean it offends you? If you don't believe in it, it shouldn't offend you at all.
Right.
And it offends more people, a larger majority of people, that it is taken down. So whatever happened to the majority rules case? And I know that we're supposed to sit there and try to make everybody happy in this country, but, you know, this political correctness has just gone crazy. And we are offending far more. There's a huge, I don't know what it is. I've seen 90% even more people that believe in God or something. They believe that there's something greater than them. So if that's the case, why can't we put things to a vote in terms of, you know, I'm not offended when people say Happy Hanukkah to me. You know, I'm not offended
right.
by that. I'm more offended by the, you know, the general Happy Holidays now during the Christmas season. And because I will, you know, it is Christmas with a capital C, and I will say Merry Christmas right back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's driving me absolutely nuts that people get so upset about something that they don't believe in.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that those very same liberals would say to you, let's say there's some sort of pornography or something out in the, you know, where it can be seen by a lot of people. And then they would say, hey, if you don't like it, turn the channel.
Yeah, that's their freedom of speech. They kill for freedom of speech. They say, you know what, we have to have it. Yet they don't want you to have freedom of speech if you disagree with what they say. They want, you know, they say tolerance, you must be tolerant, and yet they're the least tolerant people they ever meet in their life. The hypocrisy is so blatant that
that's
they're
true.
So blinded by it, they don't see it themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I remember years ago when Dr. Kennedy was alive, and sometimes protesters would surround the building and they would be preaching or, you know, protesting and chanting tolerance and things like that. And I said to Dr. Kennedy one time, oh, look, here come the shock troops of tolerance again.
You know? I know.
Crazy. All right, so we're talking right now with Kevin Sorbo, and he's the star of this new movie, God's Not Dead. And this movie, in some ways, has a potential to transcend just a, you know, a normal movie. You know, in a sense, it could help spark a movement, it seems. And just in the enthusiasm that people have. By the way, here we were in Cosmopolitan Fort Lauderdale watching it on its opening weekend, and there was spontaneous applause. And, you know, when I got out of the theater, I was looking for a church bus, and there was no church bus. These were just individuals who happened to, you know, come to this movie. I don't even know how they heard about it. I heard about it thanks to Ted Baer and Movie Guide, and he recommended
it. Well, Ted has been great, and, you know, actually in What If, he had us up for a number of awards there.
Good.
I was very fortunate. I won that year for the Most Inspired Performance Award at the Movie Guide Awards three years ago. And he's been a big proponent of the movies that I've been involved with. And Ted's become a friend through the years here, and he's a very bright man. He's a very dedicated man, and he's totally a man of God. There's no question. And what you just said, I'm getting from everybody. I'm getting emails and text messages from friends all across the country. I'm going on my Facebook pages and Twitter page, and I'm looking what people are saying. They're saying the theater's packed. People are laughing. People are crying. People are standing up applauding. That's amazing. It's incredible to hear that. And I don't know if I can say that this movie's exceeded what I thought it was going to do. I certainly thought it was going to create a debate. But, you know, I've been asked to do a lot of other shows lately, including yours, since this movie came out. So I'm glad to see the response has been, hey, let's at least discuss this issue.
I don't remember the last time I heard spontaneous applause in a movie theater, and certainly not more than once. That was crazy. I mean, I'm not talking about just the very end of the movie. I'm talking about during a climactic moment. I'm not going to reveal anything. It was very uplifting. It was very, very positive. Now, what about a potential criticism if somebody says, well, come on, the loose ends all kind of tied together, maybe with one exception? In other words, everything worked out well. That was one criticism I heard about a Christian movie a few years ago. Oh, you know, real life isn't always like that. Sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers. Sometimes the person dies of cancer, even though they're a good Christian and they've been praying.
Well, I mean, that's the atheism. You know, that's what the crutch they all fall back on. That if God is so great and wonderful, why do bad things happen? Well, there's something called free will, and God has given us free will. And there are costs for the things we do in our lives. And, for every action, there's going to be a reaction. And it may take years down the road for that reaction to happen. So, that's why bad people are allowed to live long lives, too, sometimes. So there's a reason for all these things to happen. My mom was a nurse, and there were many atheists that she were on their deathbed that she met, and she's a Christian. She'd all say, can I pray for you, and all these kind of things. She said, you would be surprised the number of them when they knew that this is it. When they knew, they're about to die.
Yes.
And they asked my mom to pray for them.
Yes.
So are there atheists that will just die giving God the finger as they go out of this world? Probably. But and I'm sure it happens.
Yes.
But you can't sit there. Just because this movie has certain things that happen in it, it doesn't mean it happens for everybody.
Right.
That, you know, it's a movie that, you know, and what movie, tell me movies that don't end with, you know, an ending. Every movie Hollywood puts out, there's an ending, whether it's a cop movie or a thriller or something. There's always something that ties together at the end.
Sure.
Do they want to do movies that leave you just completely baffled that there's no ending there? It reminds me of Lord of the Rings. I think the third one, they had seven different endings. I was at the movie theater, and I think people started groaning after a while because there were so many endings.
Huh.
But, it's easy to point out and sit there and go, oh, that would never happen. You know what? It does happen. And, you know, in this movie, they decided to show that it does and can happen.
Right.
It is a faith-based movie, after all, and they do want to show that there is hope out there, that there is, hope and change, real hope and change.
Yeah.
So all right. It's out there, trust me.
Good. USA Today said God's Not Dead is a box office winner. Susan King of the Los Angeles Times wrote, it's shaping up to be a year in which Hollywood finds religion. Boy, is that true. And God's Not Dead delivered that message powerfully. By the way, just this morning, I was at the gym, and the gym is located literally right next to the movie theater where I saw the movie, and I was just so pleased to see, you see, Son of God up there, you know, in the movie sign, and then you see right below it, God's Not Dead. And then within a week, there's going to be a movie called Noah. I'm not sure how faithful that will be, but anyway, it's certainly true that there are many, you know, faith-based movies out there, and yet God's Not Dead, per screen average, as you mentioned a moment ago, is it at an all-time high for a wide-release Christian films. In fact, they said only showing on 780 screens in its debut weekend, among many other releases on over 3,000 screens, God's Not Dead outperformed virtually all movies on a per-screen average basis and was sold out in many locations, prompting theaters to add additional showtimes and larger rooms. Termed the biggest surprise of the weekend by Entertainment Weekly and the biggest shocker of the weekend by Variety, God's Not Dead success did not surprise Pure Flix. And I guess that's because of they had some sort of social media campaign going on to promote God's Not Dead.
Yeah, it started earlier. I mean, there's been more than a million hits on YouTube. I've been promoting it on my own through my Facebook and Twitter, and I know all the fans that follow me have been doing the same thing. I mean, it just catches fire, and it's been wonderful. It's been amazing to see the response from people. And as you mentioned, there was less than 800 screens, but because of its success, they added 400 more screens this week alone, which is pretty cool.
That is cool. Well, what I think is great about this movie is every once in a while a movie will come by which is basically going to be around for years to come. It's going to be something that people will look back at, and more than that, it's going to be something that people will show and watch and so forth. And I think this fits that category. And so congratulations with this, with God's Not Dead, highly recommended. And is there anything else you want to say that we haven't covered?
You know, I'd love to give a quick shout-out for my Facebook page. People,
sure.
I have a lot of our movies coming out. I've got 8 more movies in the can. They're all going to be spread out over the next year and a half. I've shot 4 already this year. Please go to the official Facebook page of Kevin Sorbo. There's a lot of people out there pretending to be me, so I can't even get my own name in a lot of ways. So,
what?
It's weird. So it's the Kevin Sorbo official Facebook page. And on Twitter, it's @KSorbs. So it's S-O-R-B-S. People took my name, Kay Sorbo and Kevin Sorbo, and I can't even get it. So I had to go to my nickname as a kid in school, and my buddies still call me Sorbs. So it's @KSorbs. And you can follow me on both those places. I post a lot. It is me posting, trust me.
Yeah.
I do create a little bit of controversy, but I have fun doing it, and I'm not going to slow down doing it.
And how long have you been a Christian?
Really all my life. I mean, I grew up in a Christian household. I'm non-denominational. I grew up Lutheran, but I'm not that anymore. I go to a church called Christian Assembly. And it's, really for me, I think as you get older in your teen years and you start formulating your own plans and ideas and thoughts. And it was really when I saw Billy Graham speak in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm from the Minneapolis area. And I know that was a very ingrained moment in my life, that hot August night in the Twin Cities there. And I've always remembered that night. In fact, actually, I wrote a chapter in the Chicken Soup for the Soul. The only hardcover book they've ever done was doing 101 stories on Billy Graham. It's the only hardcover that they've ever done. And of all the politicians and religious leaders and celebrities that wrote those 101 stories, I was honored, and I don't know why they chose me, but the Billy Graham Foundation chose me to be the guy to go around and do their publicity. So I was on the Today Show and, all these other talk shows across the country last year promoting that book. So
oh, that's fantastic.
I was honored. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's great. I've got a friend that used to work for us at Coral Ridge Ministries, now called Truth in Action, D. James Kennedy's legacy television ministry, and he's now the lead producer for the Billy Graham group. So that's cool. And let me ask you a question. Do you ever turn down roles?
There's certain roles I wouldn't do. I'm not going to discuss those now, but I mean, there's certain roles that I'd be uncomfortable doing. People can, hypothesize what those would be, but I read probably, anywhere from 5 to 10 scripts a week that I get sent to me.
Wow.
And I'm sort of doing a lot of these low budget independent movies right now. And it's been fun for me because it's been a good mixture of stuff. But the majority I've done, I've probably shot 50 movies over the last 9 years since my second series. I shot Hercules for 7 years in New Zealand in the 90s. And from 2000 to 2005, there's a show called Andromeda. It was a Gene Roddenberry show. Since then, I've been doing just a bunch of movies. But, 90% of them are family-friendly. There are other ones that I stepped out and did quite different roles for me. And just because I wanted to do them just as an actor and... like this, playing an atheist,
yeah.
This is still a PG-rated show. Families can go to it, and it's got a great message in it. So I just finished a really wonderful film. I just finished filming on Sunday in Nashville. It's called The Secret Handshake. They're going to rush this and get it out by September. It's from Howie Klausner. Howie Klausner wrote it and directed it. Howie's best known for his screenplay of Space Cowboys with Clint Eastwood and James Garner and Tommy Lee Jones.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful family movie that... Anybody, you don't have to have kids to appreciate this, but if you've ever had kids in your life, you will laugh and go, yep, I can relate to that. So it's because Howie has three kids, as I do. So it's basically his life story with his three girls.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, your movie, just this movie alone, God's Not Dead, and other movies, let's say Son of God and so forth, are proving there really is this huge potential audience for faith-friendly movies, and yet that isn't the average fare that comes from Hollywood. But it seems to me maybe it's changing, perhaps.
I think it's changing a little bit. You know, Hollywood, it's called show business, right? So I know I get many tweets and Facebook people say, hey, you know what? I want more movies like this. And I go, you know what? Then go out and support these movies. Have your friends go out and support these movies. Because trust me, if it shows up at the box office that there's a profit to be made, Hollywood will make these movies. And I get it. I want to take my kids to movies that they can see, too. Most of the movies that come out of Hollywood are not for kids. I mean, look at most of television now. Most of nighttime TV are not for kids. And so I'm always looking for stuff for them. I mean, there's no reason to make seven-year-olds grow up that quickly. Let them be children.
Right.
You know, why expose them to some of the dirt and filth of real life? You know, let them discover that hope, unfortunately, on their own as they get older. But for now, I want them to enjoy the youth, and I want them to see movies that carry a good message. So if you support these movies, trust me, they will make more movies like this.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I appreciate that. Any closing thought for you? But before you give us a closing thought, I want to ask you this. Who did the research for this movie? Who was the main brains in terms of the Christian apologetics aspect of it?
I just think it was obviously it was PureFlix. They put this all together with their writing staff and the team and that they use. So they're the ones who did all the grinding. I'm sure they got their lawyers to go through all the files to find, okay, let's bring up all the cases that dealt with students having to deal with this sort of discrimination on their campuses.
Right, but what I meant was even just the sheer Christian apologetics aspect. I thought they did a wonderful job with that.
Well, then, Rice Brooks is a pastor. He works out of a church there in Nashville, but he travels the world. He's been to Jerusalem, I don't know how many times, 50 times. He's the one that wrote the book God's Not Dead, so he's been very big and very close to this movie the entire way through. So
I see.
Rice Brooks is a very big factor in this.
Okay, very good. Okay, how about a closing thought on God's Not Dead?
You know what? Go see it. Go out there and get yourself a wonderful experience, but also get yourself a chance to have hopefully friendly debates with people of all faiths and people of all non-faiths to get together and at least stir up the conversation, because trust me, God is out there, and he wants you to come and be part of the family. It's as simple as that.
Kevin, thanks again, and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.